But for the next hour here on Flames at 5, some very special guests. One that needs no introduction, and then there's Sheldon Kennedy.
What?
That's right. Funny, eh, Jessica?
How are you, buddy? Sheldon Kennedy, who is a former Flame, former NHL player, but to me has quickly become one of the most prominent citizens of this country for your incredible work beyond hockey, but within sports and outside of sports, and we can get into that. The only one thing I'll say on this till we get into the conversation is congratulations on the Order of Canada, because I have not been able to do that publicly. I know I'm like 6 weeks behind, but well-deserved, when's that happen?
Well,
first of all, thank you, Rob.
You're welcome.
And it hasn't happened.
It hasn't. Good. I'm glad I didn't miss it.
Yeah. No, it's... I feel very honored. It's a great honor. But I think the most important piece with that, Rob, as we talked over breakfast the one day, was, it provides hope for people that there's a way out of the craziness, or, you know, maybe the dark places that one may get into sometime in their life. It offers hope. And like I said, I would have been the last guy on that list 11 years ago. So,
what I'd like to think, and this is in my mind, I think you're getting it because you finally figured out the secret to getting rid of red tape and the BS and cutting right through it and getting stuff done.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's, to me, your legacy is, you know, enough with the talk and let's actually get out there and make a difference. And I'd like to think that's why you're getting it.
Well, I need to keep it simple, Rob, for myself so I can understand it. But, and that's kind of the whole thing with the mental health stuff too, right?
Sure.
Is let's make it understandable. What is it? What really is it? So it's... it's been an interesting journey.
And I know we'll get into this with Jessica in a second, but I think of you, not to take anything away, I mean, what a great program Bell Let's Talk has become, and when that day in January and the awareness. But I don't think that happens without you. I don't think without you getting these conversations and you know, for lack of a better term, forcing us to finally live up and look at this stuff straight in the eye, days like that don't happen. So... there you go. That's as good a compliment as I can pay you.
Well, thanks, Rob.
That's the best we'll do.
let's get to business.
Jessica Campbell, so appreciative of you making some time for us. Would like to introduce you to our audience. You are a former player at Cornell, correct?
Yeah.
Boy, you screw up those universities. And then that goes south in a heartbeat, right? What do you mean? I played for North Dakota. No, you played for Cornell. You're a Saskatchewan girl originally, is that right?
Yep.
And now you're here in Calgary both playing and working, probably playing more than working?
Yeah, definitely a lot more
there you
playing.
Go. And I want to make sure I have the resume. You are a former member of the Under-22 National Program?
Yeah.
And now currently with a women's team, right?
Yep.
Nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And a star with the Calgary Inferno, the CWHL.
Use that term loosely, but yeah.
You know, we throw around the platitudes clearly very easily around here.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about your journey in hockey and how you ended up in Calgary. I mean, of course, the national program's based here, but so is the CWHL team.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up small town, Rocheville, Saskatchewan, playing boys hockey, just following after my siblings and after my parents, and kind of just grew up playing boys and moved into the girls game. Eventually, we moved to Melville, Saskatchewan, so I played the Millionaires there, and then eventually kind of moved my way up in the ranks, played with some representing Saskatchewan in the SHA program, and then eventually I ended up in Kelowna at the Pursuit of Excellence Hockey Academy, my last years of high school, and that was the best thing ever for me because development-wise, it was everything I needed from a skills standpoint, a skating standpoint, and then that took me to Cornell, and while I was at Pursuit, I was able to, I got offered an invite to the national program camps and kind of worked my way through there, through the under-18 program, under-22, and now with the national team, battling for my spot on that roster. That's kind of just one thing's led to another. I had a four-year career at Cornell, got my degree in communications, and now I'm here with the Inferno, which is the CWHL is the only professional league for women to play in, and so that's what's brought me here. I wanted to stay out west, and obviously this is the only option, but a lot of family out here, a lot of teammates, friends, and it was close to home for me, so it was an easy move, and it's been an awesome transition out of university.
So for a women's player, which was the goal for you? Was the goal along to go to Cornell? Was the goal along to make the women's team, or, you know, to get to that point where you could play, you know, in a professional league, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, when I was probably 5 years old, the goal was always to play for the national team. You didn't really look beyond high school. So definitely was, that was the dream all growing up. And I think every female hockey player can attest to that for the same reasons. But obviously when I got to high school, I realized women's hockey, we don't have a future in the sport, obviously financially, which I think one day it can get to that point. But I mean, it is what it is. And obviously I wanted to get a degree and wanted to get a reputable degree. And so decided to go to Cornell, and that was the best thing for me. And I know one day I'll be able to use that degree to my advantage. But in the meantime, definitely just going for the goal and pursuing my hockey ambitions first.
Well, there is a little, as you know, we were talking to Sheldon just a second ago, there is somewhat of a parallel here, you know, because, you know, women's hockey at the top level has been around for a while, and it's a struggle, and it's, you know, moving a rock up the hill, but not unlike, you know, Sheldon, what we were talking about before, you know, even the work that you've done, you've had to kind of do that. There are parallels here to keep something moving forward to make it successful, right?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of it is, you know, social change. But if you look at one of the fastest growing sports in our country, it's women's hockey. I mean, just talk to Hockey Canada, right? And you look at all the young ladies and young girls that are taking up the game. And, you know, one of the things that I really noticed was how many rec hockey teams there are, like women's teams there are, and how many buddies of mine's wives play rec hockey. It's unbelievable. But, you know, I mean, I look at it like, you know, it's about, moving the issues forward. It's patience and persistence.
Yep.
And, you know, I really like the game. And the way I look at the game is, you know, it was a very different game early on than the men's game. The men's game is all about power, and the women's game is all about finesse and smarts. And you look at the men's game, and it's moving more towards the women's game than
vice versa. Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's it's good. And I mean, you know, great young. I think that these ladies, young ladies, are great role models for other young, especially young girls that, you know, are looking to, you know, maybe what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Or can I do this? Would I ever be able to play hockey? Would I ever be able to play sports? I mean, my daughter was a basketball player, but they really look up to these young women. And they don't, you know, in their minds, they're professionals, and they've got that professional jersey on. And as a kid, I mean, I used to look up to the senior hockey players in our little town of Elkhorn, Manitoba. So it wasn't an NHL player that was my favorite. So I think that, you know, being at that level with the Inferno and committed to the game as these women are, I think is a great, you know, they're in a position that these young kids really look up to.
With Jessica Campbell from the Calgary Inferno and Sheldon Kennedy, let's talk about how you two came together and morph that into a conversation about what's going on this weekend. How did you two cross paths?
Well, I refereed, as it comes to be, I refereed when I was 12 years old, Jessica's mom. She was playing hockey with the women's team in our little town called Elkhorn, Manitoba, which is home of the Sanheim boys.
Right.
And that play on the Hitmen. But I actually ended up reffing the Fafford girls from St. Lazar, Manitoba. And so anyway, that was down the road. But we got together through the Child Advocacy Center.
Okay.
And Jessica came in and wanted to get involved through an individual that worked there, Stacy Meyer. And she came in and took a tour of the CAC and wanted to get involved. And then we met, and Jessica arranged the whole team to come through around Christmas time. And it's just it's kind of taken off from there. But I mean, you know, you get so many people that want to help, right? But
mm-hmm.
then it never follows through to much. And Jessica has been committed, and the team's been committed to wanting to make a difference. And I think the biggest difference, Rob, that we want to make is draw the parallel between mental health and child abuse and addiction, and try to make sense of this stuff. Like you said earlier, try to cut through the red tape.
Yeah.
Try to really make sense of exactly what mental health is. And you know, and I've seen that commitment, and you know, it's just been impressive. And you just all I really do is try to facilitate you know, putting people in front of Jessica and putting people in front of each other to make things happen.
So this weekend, it is the final weekend or final homestand for you. The Clarkson Cup comes up in early March.
Mm-hmm.
So you and Boston is who you're hosting.
Mm-hmm.
1-2. This is a big weekend, right?
Yeah.
Hockey-wise, this is a big weekend.
It's a huge weekend, yeah.
Now, you were in Boston earlier in the year, right?
Yes.
And how did those games go?
We won one, lost two. The first one, we blasted them, but the last two were in overtime, so they were tight, but They have a very heavy loaded roster. They basically have the entire U.S. Olympic team on their roster.
The entire Olympic team?
Pretty close. They have almost every player on their team has been either in a part of USA's national program at some point, retired, or I shouldn't say retired, they're still playing, but from the national program, or they have a few Canadian national members as well, including the goalie for the national team here in Canada. So they're a tough squad to beat, but
no kidding.
It's doable.
Okay.
We've done it.
This weekend you have two games against them?
Three
games against them. Okay. We should mention that it starts off on Friday, and that's a big one, too, because that's a game in support of Heart and Stroke Foundation with that one. Tell us a little bit about what's going to happen on Friday night's game.
Yeah, so teammate Jackie Pierre's organized the Keep the Beat game, as we're calling it, in honor of the Heart and Stroke Foundation, and she's put together a lot of different activities that will be going on during the game. Some AED readings from a whole range of different things. I can't even name them all off, but she's arranged a lot of things to go on during the game to promote awareness around that, and funds, T-shirt sales, and funds will be going directly towards Heart and Stroke. So that's something that's very close to home for her, and we're all supporting her as a teammate, and we want to see that turn out to be a success before even Saturday comes.
So that's at Winsport on Friday night.
Yeah, puck at the
drops.
Jones Snyder Arena.
Okay,
yeah.
And the puck drops what? So
7:30.
7:30 on that one. What we're here to talk about today, we'll talk about that as well, is what's going to transpire on Saturday. So why don't you two tell me about the work that you have put in to putting this game on Saturday?
Yeah, there's been quite a few conversations in the last month or two here trying to kind of pinpoint what we wanted to do and how our team could promote this cause, because, I mean, it's close to home for me, and I know a lot of my teammates have been affected by mental health and mental illness, so it's something that we definitely take pride in and want to see, see there be awareness been raised around it. So kind of reached out to Sheldon, and we just brainstormed a lot of ideas what we could do, and we thought the best way to do it was to get involved with the Canadian Mental Health Association, and there's a nice partnership there with the CAC, having the Youth Summit come up in March. It's nice that it lands right at the end of our season, so it's something we can fully commit to 100%, and as leaders in that, I think it'll fit nicely, because that's what we want to do. We want to mentor young kids. We want to inspire them, you know, to talk about these issues themselves, whether it's at home with their friends, their siblings, or with their students and their classmates. And so it's something that we really see as a huge opportunity to get involved with, and something that's close to home for us. So this weekend's going to be exciting, because there should be a lot of kids coming out for it, and it's a free admission game, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Sheldon, why is it important for the CAC, the Child Advocacy Center, to be part of this? Why partner up here?
Well, I think some of the work that we want to do, Rob, is to me, it's about painting the picture of the invisible, and it's about making sense of all the silos that we operate in today. And we have mental health in one silo, we've got addiction in another silo, we've got child abuse in another silo, we've got violence, domestic violence in another silo, etc. And the reality is that, you know, through the Child Advocacy Center, with all the six systems that we have there, the police, child and family, health, Crown Prosecutor's Office, etc., being able to paint the picture of what we're really seeing when we can actually work together and share information as a group. What we deal with there is, yes, we deal with child abuse investigations and the healing of these children, but the reality is all the work that we do falls under mental health. And when we paint the pictures, I mean, when kids present to us, they present mental health issues, self-harm, suicidal attempts, sexualized behaviors, aggressiveness, etc. We did over 2,500 investigations, Rob, in the first 20 months that we've been open. And our mindset is that to make sense of mental health, we need to understand the majority of mental health issues and their root cause. And the root cause to mental health is early childhood trauma. And where does that lead to? We know the research on the brain and so forth, and where does that? Direct links to addiction, direct links to suicide behavior, etc. So it's all about early intervention prevention, and it's all about trying to work upstream, not always working downstream. Right. Let's not wait till they get on our streets. I mean, if you look at early childhood abuse, I mean, kids are 26 times more likely to end up and experience homelessness in their life, 30% less likely to graduate from high school, 4 times more likely to be arrested. But, you know, we've never made that link or cut through that red tape. So one of the things that I love about this, and one of the opportunities is if we look at you know, the mental health, hockey talks, and so forth. It's about really understanding. We've created now a partnership with the Canadian Mental Health branch here in Calgary to really make sense and to draw this thing together. And one of the things is that what the game does is shows a collaboration between the Child Advocacy Center, Canadian Mental Health, and, you know, we use the vehicle of the Inferno hockey team. We've got some great champions there, which is going to push towards a youth mental health summit where we talk about all of this, how it's linked together. And I think that that is the key, Rob, is that we need to understand mental health. I think we've spent, I don't know how many millions and millions of dollars of talking about depression and talking about this. And the reality is you know, there's only 3% of children that are born with a mental health condition, and the rest are pretty much man-made, right? So where is the rest of those coming from? So anyway, we're trying to make sense of it. We're trying to break it down and simplify it so the average fool walking down the street can understand what we're talking about.
If you don't mind, we'll take a break. When we come back, want to continue this conversation and want to talk about, definitely, Jessica, I want to talk about the role of the Inferno, because it's beyond this one game. And also a little, you know, we got to talk some hockey, because it's a hockey program as well. We'll get into that. But I also want to explore a little bit more, Sheldon, the relationship that hockey has had with this particular issue, if you're okay with that.
Sure.
Once again, I want to remind everybody, three games this weekend. They're all up at Winsport. It's against the Boston Blades. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Saturday's a 1 o'clock puck drop?
Yep, okay. And Sunday, 9 a.m.
9 a.m. Hey, a brunch game. Are you kidding me?
I love those games,
hey?
Rob. I used to love 9 a.m. games.
Really? Yeah. Yes, I remember that about you.
That's right.
But again, up at Winsport. We'll get more into the games when we'll take a break and come back. Very pleased. Jessica Campbell's here. Sheldon Kennedy's here. It's Flames at 5 for Pete the Plumber, the superhero residential plumbing and heating here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Well, welcome back to Shanks on McLeod Trail, South Calgary. Flames of the LA Kings tonight. Warm up at 7:30. Puck drops at 8:30. We continue a very special edition of Flames at 5. Sheldon Kennedy is still with us, of course, from the Child Advocacy Center, a former NHLer. Very pleased to have join us now Joy Pavlich from Mental Health Association. Canada's Mental Health Association. Sorry, I got all these. It's dark in here, Sheldon. I can hardly read.
That's okay.
Communication leader for the. I'll read the abbreviation. That's easier. CMHA.
So Canadian Mental Health Association.
Rolls right off the end of your tongue.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not too dark for you.
I was
in
a patient for a few years.
Oh, okay. Jessica Campbell of the Inferno will join us. Come back on in a little while. First of all, Joy, thank you for doing this. You're also going to be part of the Inferno's game on Saturday as well. Very special day that she can hear us. I hope she can hear us. Boy, is that young girl put a lot of work into this to make this a big game.
They have put a phenomenal amount of work, and they really hit the ground running, right? There was a couple of emails, a couple of conversations, and they opened the gates for us. It's phenomenal, the amount of energy and passion that they put into the game and into the summits that we're promoting.
Sheldon, let's talk about your relationship with Joy and the work that your two groups do. And it's not going to culminate, but it certainly comes together here in Calgary on March 16th and 17th, right?
Yeah, and I also want to say, like, with Jessica and that, too, and another volunteer with us, Heather Jackson, those are two young women that have volunteered their time to really pull this off on our end, this whole game. It's been unbelievable, Rob. So that, to me, is really impressive, right? It's impressive. And I think, you know, the whole goal of this and why Joy and I, you know, the conversation has. I mean, when we look at the stats and some of the stats that we have coming out of the CAC, you can't find these stats across the country. And the whole point of the stats was, how do we paint the picture of the invisible damage that child abuse has and mental health? And if we look at the cases that come through and what kids are presenting to us when we see them, well, they're presenting mental health issues, substance abuse issues, sexualized behavior, suicidal thoughts, and the list goes on, right? And you know, and the whole thing is what we know. It's that, you know, it's not pull yourself up by the bootstraps and let's get going here. There's a damage that happens with early childhood trauma that's linked directly to the brain, which is a mental health issue. So it's like, let's connect with the Mental Health Commission of Canada, right? And we need to be consistent in our messaging, and we need to be consistent in our approach on the way that we talk about this stuff, because these issues that we're talking about, early childhood trauma, whether it's kids witnessing domestic violence cases, growing up in alcoholic homes, severe neglect, sexual sexual assault, you name it, make up the high percentage of mental health issues in our country. So we have to be consistent in the way that we talk about this. If we want to erase stigma, if we're not working on the same page, how are we going to expect society to understand what we're talking about? So that was the conversation pretty much that we had together. And, you know, it takes good leadership. So you've got Loreen McNeil and you've got Joy here that said, yeah, yeah, you're right. You know, we need to be doing that. And so now, you know, we are working to be able to create and to paint the picture of the invisible, of really mental health that people have a hard time understanding, and the damage of, you know, child abuse and those early childhood trauma stuff.
Joy, we were talking off the air that, you know, sport, and in particular, I guess, for the benefit of this show, hockey, can really play a positive role in this. We were talking about Bell Let's Talk, and that really was across the spectrum, and it's such a great thing. But even the NHL's Canadian teams with their Hockey Talks program, it's a vehicle to get that conversation going. They can be leaders. They can be mentors, right?
And I think that's the critical piece, right? If we look at people in our community who are going to have a voice that's going to open up that conversation. So if you look at a young person and who are their heroes, right? Sporting heroes are phenomenal. I was saying I had three boys, and I mean, that's who they looked up to, right? The hockey cards. These are the people we want that can create that conversation, that openness for our children to hear the message. And you know, when Sheldon's talking about the numbers, where you look at what children are presenting with, there's also an incredible correlation between the time where you reach out for help and your wellness. So the longer that it stays hidden and silent, there's so much more room for that to keep the ongoing manifestation, mental health issues, and they morph into addiction and mental health issues. So by creating a space where children are able to reach out for help, say, you know what, I'm not doing well, we're creating an opportunity for them to get well. So having our community leaders open up those conversations and create that safe space for our children, and it gives them that person to look up to, especially as Sheldon said, if you're looking at the people you trust the most right now,
right,
are most likely to be the ones that are doing the most harm. That's probably not.
Well, I mean, it's I think if you look at our stats, right, Joy, like the majority of cases, right, like one of the myths out there, Rob, that individuals that hurt our kids jump out from behind trees in the corner of bushes or the corner of buildings, right? But the reality is 93% of our kids, the child knows their abuser. 47% of those, it's happening in the home. Hence the reason why our sporting environments, the people that want to just put their hand up and volunteer to come out to volunteer at, you know, a hockey, minor hockey game, you know, or the parents that are in the stands, or the teachers, or your Boys and Girls Club leaders, they may be the only trusted adult in these kids' lives.
Right.
Because of what's going on in their life at home or close to home. So our goal, and when I look at Hockey Talks, to me, there's talking is one thing, and then there's action.
Yep.
And I look at the action that, you know, Hockey Canada took back in 1997. And to the goal there is to educate all adults, to give the tools to recognize and understand and to create a confidence around abuse, bullying, and harassment behavior.
Right.
Not that they're a bad coach. It's to give them the cool tools, because you may be the best coach on the ice. And if because you're a good coach and because you're a good person, male or female, you may be the only trusted adult in that kid's life. So you need to have the tools to know what to do. So for us, I think that hockey, there is no youth-serving organization in this world that I know of that has taken a more proactive approach to education and prevention than Hockey Canada. And I mean, we look at what they've done, and it really is incredible. And we were just talking about this the other day with Tom Rennie, and is it perfect? I don't know if anything's perfect, but I know one thing. When you can create a mandatory vehicle,
yeah,
and say this is what we stand for, it's a hell of a start.
Well, and, you know, again, I hope you take this for what it is, which is a pat on the back. I do want to credit Hockey Calgary as well, and Perry Cavanaugh for dipping their toe in the pool with respect in sport. So if there's a parent who's driving around today going, well, I got to take that respect in sport course, this is why.
Exactly.
This is why that's there.
That's right. And hockey, Calgary, like Todd Miller and Perry were huge leaders in that. And, you know, this isn't a one-time hit. And this isn't about reaching the bad people. This is about the mindset is, and I think if we look in community, you know, we have to be working together. Canadian Mental Health Association, Hockey Calgary, Hockey Canada, the Sheldon Kennedy Child Advocacy Center, the Women's Shelter, we've got to be working together, because the reality is the individuals in high 90% of the time that come into any one of those organizations, they touch all of us.
Yep.
So we need to be consistent in our message and are consistent in our approach and break down those silos. So, you know, I look at hockey and you know, they're not just educating and creating confidence and educated adults in hockey. They're creating educated adults and carrying this message to community citizens. And I think our best defense to individuals that hurt kids is education, because they rely on society's ignorance and indifference. And the more people that we can educate and train and create a confidence to ask those questions when your gut's telling you that something's not right, I think the better we're going to be.
Joey, I want to ask you, from your perspective, if things have changed in terms of giving a voice to the voiceless. Sheldon has told his story. We were talking off the air. Clint Malarchuk has told his story. Theo Fleury has told his story. The conversation has changed. I know in my business, it was unfathomable 5 or 10 years ago. We would have spent any time talking about a player bullying another player in a locker room at the professional level. But I bring you the Richie Incognito story in Miami and how that played itself out. Even Evander Kane in Winnipeg, there was questions about whether or not that was actual bullying, which we wouldn't have been asking those questions, you know, 5, 10 years ago. Are we seeing some of this pay off with better, if nothing else, communication?
We are absolutely seeing it pay off. And the level of conversation has changed as well, not just the volume, but the level. And even I'd say in the past year, you look at some of these, you know, you look at a high-profile suicide like Robin Williams.
Right.
And that's someone that's so identifiable, and it changes the face of mental illness, right? So we look at what is mental illness, and it's an absence, or mental illness is the symptoms, and mental health is the absence of the symptoms. So how do we create that environment where people can function in a world with mental health?
So tell me about this event coming up March 16th and 17th.
So this is part of the Mental Health Commissions of Canada's. See, I stuttered.
Yeah,
it
no, I, it's a lot of acronyms.
Anyhow, so they've created this anti-stigma opening minds initiative, and the idea is they're tackling stigma at different levels. So media is one of them. Youth is a huge part of it, and that's where we're coming in. So we're hosting these summits, and they're actually two identical summits, and we wanted to keep them small so that we could keep them more intimate. So we're bringing students and their guidance counselors in from across the city and area. So we really want to encourage area partnerships as well. To come in and learn how to create anti-stigma activities within their own school. So, and we want these, we have stories of recovery. So we have, we know that contact-based education is the one that most works, right? Where people can actually relate to the people that are there. And then we've got these incredible leaders who are showing up as well. And they're showing up, which is so exciting. People want to be involved. So, like, again, the women's hockey team.
They see the Calgary Inferno right there.
Yeah.
Front and center.
And that was something they, through Sheldon, they came to us, but the level of energy and the fact that they just want to be involved, and it's what can we do, right? So for our young people to be able to think of looking at these leaders so committed to the community is pretty exciting. It's going to be a really exciting couple days.
Joy, I want to thank you for joining us and bringing this message. We're going to bring Jessica Campbell back in for the last segment. I'm going to say goodbye to you, but before you go, dude, you know how much admiration I have for you. You sit there on CNN and speak the truth. You go in front of the Senate. You go in front of, you know, Parliament. You do all of that, yet someone from a women's hockey team in Calgary says, I want help, and you're there. You're my hero, bud. You always have been, and I've got so much respect for the work you guys. You're doing the right work. You're doing work that needs to be done, and hopefully hockey's playing a small role in moving that message forward, and we're getting somewhere. But again, bud, everything you do, man, it's amazing. Well, congratulations.
Thank you, Rob. You know what? I've said this. I say this if I'm, you know, speaking somewhere. But you know, the media, from the day I've done the skate, have really helped carry this message. And, you know, as you said, everything's shifted. Everything's changed. The message is a more educated message. Yep. It's a more educated conversation. But if it wasn't for you guys and the ability to come on the show, we wouldn't be able to get our message out. So I'm very grateful for, you know, yourself and the opportunity to be doing this. So.
Well, you know what? Your lack of fear has emboldened a lot of us. Mm. And I think that's the best way to put it, because, you know, if you're prepared to, then we got to back it up. Sheldon, thank you. Joy, thank you. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more here on Flames at 5 for Pete the Plumber as Jessica Campbell from the Calgary Inferno will rejoin us. Here live from Shanks on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Let's talk hockey. 60 minutes on ice. The Flames at 5 is only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, home of the Calgary Flames and the NHL.
Welcome back to Shanks. McLeod Trail South, Calgary Flames, Los Angeles Kings tonight. Warm up at 7:30. Puck drops at 8:30. Really a big deal for us that Jessica Campbell from the Calgary Inferno can spend some time with us and come in studio. Let's talk some hockey. Your team right now sits atop the CWHL. Right there, Boston. Big three-game set coming up this weekend. The caliber of play, the quality of play this year, how has the season gone for you?
The caliber is unbelievable. I mean, it's a first year back out of the Olympics, so you have all the national players back in the league.
Yeah.
I said Boston has, you know, a heavy loaded USA roster.
Yours isn't bad either.
Oh, no. No, we had a great roster. Yeah, we definitely have a lot of skill on our team and the entire league. Like, it's anyone can beat anyone on any given day. We've seen it all season, so it's just super competitive. And there's been some upsets. There's been, you know, It's been pretty unbelievable, especially transitioning out of university and coming out of Cornell. That, you know, there was a lot of skill, there was a lot of competition in the NCAA, and it was such an easy transition because, you know, these players have all played at the NCAA or a high collegiate CIS level. So the skill's there, and the speed of the game is just, it's uncomparable. It's the best you're going to see off Olympic years. And,
right.
Yeah.
Did you have to adapt coming out of Cornell to this level? Was there something, was the pace different?
The pace is definitely not different. I mean, it's a different style of play.
Okay.
Obviously, college, it's go, 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 go. And now it's more, I mean, you see it in all levels of pro hockey, even in the men's side of the game. There's a lot more skill and a lot more system-based decisions and a lot of structure that way. So I think you see that. You see the skill, but you still see the speed of the game and the skill in women's hockey every single time there's a matchup. And I think that's the beauty of it, is people don't really realize how skilled our league is until they come to a game and they realize, wow, there's some Olympians on this team and there's these players, they all can play at this level. And you can't really see a huge difference between the caliber between players. So it's so competitive and it's unbelievable hockey to watch.
Is the Inferno a different team than Boston or Montreal in terms of style of play, or do we have? I mean, it's a five-team league, but are there enough variances that there is a Inferno style and a Blade style?
It's pretty hard to compare. I mean, I think we have a lot of skill up front, and I think Boston has that too. But we're very, you know, heavy loaded all throughout our roster. We have great goaltending, great defense, and. And same thing with Boston. So it's hard to, you know, pick places where they might have an advantage or we have an advantage over them. But I think one thing we do have is we play with a lot of grit and we have a lot of raw speed. And I think that always works to our advantage because we have a lot of offensive talent. But it's those gritty little plays that we've seemed to capitalize a lot on this year. And I think other teams have realized that. So that's definitely something that we know we have to take advantage of and use to our advantage this weekend.
Kevin Holler is your coach, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was our coach this season. He just stepped down for personal reasons. But we have Scott Reed and Megan Mickelson.
Okay.
They've kind of stepped up here for the last little bit of the season. So.
Well, there's pretty good experience there, right?
Oh, yeah. We've had great experience, great coaching all year. And, I mean, it's pretty unbelievable having someone who knows the game and has played at a high level to, you know, coach you throughout the season, and then to have Megan Mickelson, an Olympian, and her husband Scott Reed, who's played professional hockey at, you know, all kinds of levels, and they know their stuff, they know how to coach, they know how to conduct themselves in the dressing room and to relate to players, and especially Megan, she's been in our shoes and she's gonna be coming back, so she's got a lot of energy there in the coaching staff, and it's a great environment to thrive in as players.
So she's coming back to play?
I'm hoping so. I think she's going to be coming back to play. I'm not positive, but that's...
Sure.
I think she's going to come back to the national team, so...
The Clarkson Cup is in March in Markham, Ontario, correct?
Yes.
How big a deal is that? I mean, this is the championship, right? This is what you guys have been battling for. I know it's always the next team up, but you got to be starting to look a little bit ahead and get excited about that tournament, aren't you?
Yeah, Clarkson Cup's going to be awesome. This will be my first time there, but I know it's a huge, huge tournament. It's a huge event, and obviously it's do or die. There's not a three-game series, seven-game series. It's one shot and, you know, make or break. That's kind of how upsets happen, but we worked so hard throughout the whole year to stay on top, and we've, clinched our rights to be one of the top teams, and I think that's going to really do us good when we come to the Clarkson Cup, because it seems like those third games are when we really, really come out and play on the weekends when we play the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We still got it the third game, and so I think that's going to really pull through for us at the Clarkson Cup when we're playing in such a short period of time, but also a big, you know, championship weekend for us.
Jessica Campbell from the Calgary Inferno hosting Boston Friday night 7:30, Saturday afternoon at 1, and of course the breakfast game on Sunday at 9. So if you're up early, you know, this is a good time. I want to take a minute just to acknowledge the fact that I've really been impressed. We met with Sheldon a while ago, and this whole idea of doing something for your community comes from your time in Cornell, and it was something that you wished to bring. Why was it so important for you to do a game like... Because I should let everybody know, and I said to this off the air, all due respect to the guys I deal with on day in, day out basis, and a lot doing good in the community, but they have people to help them, and game day is game day.
Yeah.
I've seen the work that you put to this game on Saturday. It's very impressive from a volunteer standpoint, yet you're going to play in this game. Why? Why go to all that trouble?
I mean, I think it's got to come from somewhere, and it comes from a place from my heart. And, I mean, I lost my best friend to suicide, and so mental health is an area that I take a lot of ownership and pride in, and somewhere that I really want to invest my time and my effort, you know, outside of hockey. And if I can combine my two passions together, then that means everything to me. And so it's not a matter of, you know, when I'm doing it and if I'm playing in the game or, you know, how fast everything came together, but it's just about bringing the right people together for the right cause, and kind of doing it for my friend, and to have my teammates rally around that idea for me, and to see the support there, and to see the support from Sheldon and the CMHA. It's just been unbelievable, the volunteers, and it's all for one cause, and it's just to inspire, you know, to inspire conversations about this issue and to really empower our youth and our friends to talk about this and be comfortable and, you know, saying something's wrong, or and to have everybody prepared to, you know, have those conversations with them. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun, because the kids will be able to see that, you know, mental health is a cause that's important to us. And if it's important to us, then it's got to be a big deal. And
there's when we're talking about this, the role of a mentor and mentorship is such an important piece to this puzzle, right? Yeah. You had mentors growing up. Now you have an opportunity to be a mentor to the young girls, which, let's be honest, you know, it's taken a while to get to this point, but now we have it, you know, Cassie Campbell's been great, but the Olympic team was the Olympic team. Now there's a team here all the time, and mm-hmm. the footprint, and we know about the growth of the sport. This is really important. Tell us about the details of Saturday afternoon. Again, Friday at 7:30, and that one's a big one for the Canadian Heart and Stroke Fund.
Yep.
And then Sunday at 9. But tell me again the details about Saturday at 1.
Well, first of all, the game's free, so we
That's
definitely want to
price.
Highlight that, because
yep.
you're going to get some great hockey, awesome competition, and free admission, so bring your family, bring your friends. But from our side of it, for the cause, we want to be role models, and like I said, we want to inspire young kids to take a stand against these things, and we want to be the mentors, we want to be the role models in their lives that they can say, you know, because of you, I didn't give up. And outside of hockey, you know, you can be the best player you want on the ice, but if you can't relate to anyone, you're not much of a role model in my perspective. And I think to really send the right message, and mental health is something that affects everyone, and it's so, so important in everyday life and outside of sport as well. And I think, you know, to show kids that we take pride in that, we live with these things every day ourselves, and there's healthy ways to cope with them, and that's important. And so it's all about having fun. The game's going to be exciting. There's going to be a whole 50 to 100 kids singing the anthem, both Canadian and American. They just learned it a couple days ago
Big choir.
For the Boston team, you know.
Yeah.
So there'll be a lot going on, but there's a meet and greet after the game down by the dressing room, so there'll be a chance for us to speak about our role in the youth summit coming up, how we're going to be mentors, facilitating some of the conversations going on there. So it gives the kids a chance to meet us, get some autographs, but also kind of learn about what they're going to get at the youth summit and how they can, you know, establish that relationship with us and that mentorship type of relationship as well.
Thoroughly impressed. Jessica Campbell, it's been an honor to have you on this program. Just blown away by the work you put into it. I'm looking forward to the game. We're going to come down and watch it on Saturday afternoon. Best of luck, the hockey-wise, best of luck against Boston. You know, that's mostly the American team. You know what we want here. Right?
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
And then, of course, you're already into the Clarkson Cup, so it's not premature for me to wish you best of luck with that. But thanks for doing this. Thanks for giving back, and thanks for putting your heart and soul in all of this, because I have seen the work, and you've done a lot. So don't downplay. You've done a lot. Best luck this weekend. Thanks
thank
for stopping by.
Thank you so much,
by.
Rob.
Okay. Jessica Campbell from the Calgary Inferno. Want to thank her. Want to thank Joy Pavlich as well from the CMHA, and as well our good friend Sheldon Kennedy from the Child Advocacy Center, former NHLer. Coming up.